Our Heavenly Father, we give you the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. We thank you and we glorify your great name. How great thou art, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of your mercies unto us. Because before the world began, you knew everybody. You knew every one of us. You had a purpose in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, because you wrought a great victory for us at the cross. Blessed be thy name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, because you promised that you will restore everything unto us in full. Now, Lord, glorify thyself this morning in the message of the Lord. And we ask that you will enlighten our hearts with your word, because the entrance of the word, the Bible says, gives light. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Now, this morning, you know, I think you will shout a little more after I'm done preaching. Because today, I am going to preach on your total recovery. Now, that is total recovery. That's what I'm going to be preaching on. You know, and what does that mean? Well, it means that you will recover all. Amen. That's what it means, you know. So let's start here at 1 Samuel. And I got a few scriptures that I'm going to share with you here. You know, and I love this story. I mean, you know, I love to preach from the story of David in the Bible. You know, there's all kinds of angles and perspectives about his life and so on. And I preached about this one before, but today it's going to be a little bit different. You know, so I'm going to start here at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, the background to this story, you know, of course, David and a few of his men, you know, a few hundred of his men or so, whatever, they joined themselves with Achish. They call him the king of Gath and so forth, you know, in the land of the Philistines. And so he joined himself and he was running away from Saul and all of that. You know, so after a while, well, you know, although Achish wanted him to go in and out with him, the rest of the lords of the Philistines didn't care too much for David, because they were kind of suspicious of him. They said, look, this man, isn't this the one that they sang that, you know, he even Saul killed his thousands, but this man killed his 10,000s. He might turn against us and so on. So they persuaded Achish to let him go and so on and so forth. So, you know, and David had been gone for a while and so on. You know, so we pick up this story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, that's where David's family and the families of all of these men were. And they had taken the women captives that were daring. Now, they didn't slay any of them, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, here's what happened. They came back and everything was gone. I mean, their wives, their children, everything. The city was burnt down, you know, and they had lost all. You know, everything was gone. David's wives taken captive and so forth like that. You know, and in verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, because the souls of the people were grieved. You know, every man for his sons and his daughters and their wives, and they put all the blame on David. You know, they said, this is because of you that all of this has happened to us. Now, where are our wives? Where are our children? Where is everything we got? You know, so they were all talking of stoning David, you know, because of all that had happened to them, because they, you know, they were going with him and so forth. You know, he was their captain, you know, and all this happened, so they put all the blame on him. And David's heart was distressed. But David did something that I always love. The Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Can you say amen to that? You know, he said it too. You know, you can read all about it in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou still in God, because I will yet praise him for his health of my countenance. And he encouraged himself, said, you know, then he called for the priest. See, he said, look, get me the priest. So the priest came and he said, look, bring me the ephod. Now David, he's going to inquire of the Lord, you know, what to do. Now, so I want you, there's many aspects to this story, so I want you to pay attention. So David, you know, sought the Lord, you know, so when you lose, you know, when the devil takes stuff from you, what do you do? See, David, he sought unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. He said, bring me the ephod. And they brought the ephod. And so David inquired of the Lord in verse 6, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? You know, because David, he never wants to do anything by the arm of his own strength. You know, so he said, shall I pursue? Will I overtake them? And so forth. And the Lord answered him and said, sure. Go ahead and pursue after them, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and thou shalt without fail recover all. Amen, somebody. Thou shalt recover all. And that's where my message is taken from this morning. You will recover all. And God wants me to talk to you this morning that this year you will recover all. Amen. Now, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about partial recovery and then total recovery. So let me give you some examples of, now, in this message today, I'm not talking about partial recovery. You know, but there are many things, you know, partial recovery sometimes is good too, you know. And there are many examples. I'm going to use some natural things just to give you the examples of partial recovery. You know, but that's not what I'm going to be talking about this month. But just to lay a background, you know, here's an example of partial recovery. You know, you get a wound in your body, right? And then the wound is healed, you know, but it leaves a scar. How many of you are still with me? Anybody ever had a wound that healed and left a scar? That's partial recovery. You know, you recovered from the wound, all right, but you left a scar. You know, so that the one that I'm going to talk about this morning, you know, is that God is going to eliminate all traces and all evidence of the loss. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. That's total recovery. And there's a way that he sets things in place. He's going to eliminate it. You know, you won't even remember it. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's the Lord. He's great. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to give you a story of somebody else that recovered all in a few minutes. But let me tell you another story of David here. Because since I'm on the subject of David, I'll do this David first. And I'll come back to this other person that recovered all. You know, now, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you've heard me preach on this many times, the slaying of a giant. I preached the lion, the bear, and Goliath. I preached it, you know, every which way. But I'm going to bring a different perspective in here this morning. You know, so if you go to the story of 1 Samuel chapter 17, here is the story of the Philistines that pitched against Israel, and Goliath, you know, that was harassing them every day and challenging them to send a champion that two of them can fight, and whoever wins the victory for their side. But nobody could challenge this guy. I mean, nobody could step up to his challenge because, you know, he was 9 foot tall and all of that. You know, many of you may know the story. If you know the story, say amen. Amen. Of course, you know, so Jesse, the father of David, you know, giving David an assignment to keep the sheep and all of that. And one day, and the rest of his, you know, older brothers and so forth, they were in the army and so on. So one day, his father said to him, okay, go check out your brothers and see how they're doing. Give them some things and so forth, and bring me word back. Bring me their pledge. Make sure they're good. You know, bring something from them to let me know that they are alive and something I can hold and they can get back when they come back. You know, I want them back in peace. So David went. As you know the story, he went over there, and then when he got there, you know, he saw what was going on. Nobody was taking the challenge and so forth. And he said, look, what's going on here? You know, and one of his older brothers said, look, shut up. You know, you should go back to the ship. You know, And what are you doing here? We know the pride in your heart. You just come out here to see what's going on and to look at the battle, you know. And David said, what battle? I don't see any battle here. All I see here is a bunch of cowards. Amen? You know, and he said, look, what is going to be done to this man who will do something, you know, about it? So you know the story. So he went before the king. The king Saul said, well, you can't do it. And tried to give him his armor and all that. And David said, well, don't worry about the armor. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me. You know, and so David told this story. And we're going to hear it from David's mouth himself. In verse 34 of Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Now thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Amen?
Amen.
And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So let me, you know, in fact, you know, he took God showing me an inside scoop of what happened in this thing, not to understand it. Now, so, David skipping the sheep. So here, I'm going to play it out for you. He's keeping the sheep, you know, and he has the shepherd's staff and rod and so forth. And he's able to fight off, you know, the little foxes and so forth, you know, that come, you know, with just the rod. He's able to do that, you know. But every so often, you know, you have some real predators that are going to come by the sheep. And, you know, those lions and things like that, you know, especially a lion, he knows how to zero in on his target. So this lion, he came, you know, he looked, zeroed in on one of the weakest, you know, the weakest sheep in the flock that went astray somehow, you know, and went after that thing. And when David found out, you know, that the lion came after this sheep, and the lion got a hold of the sheep, and they said, oh no, oh no, you know, David went after the lion. Amen?
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
David went after the lion. Because the lion took something that David was responsible for. The lion took one of the sheep that David was supposed to be watching. Or you might say, the lion took something that belonged to David. And David went after this lion and said, oh no, you don't. You know, and he smote the lion. I don't know how he smote the lion. I don't know how he did it. But he smote the lion somehow. You know, enough to get to deliver the sheep from the lion somehow. But I'll tell you something, you know, David didn't finish his job initially, you know, by just smiting the lion, because then the lion rose against him. See, because if you take the prey out of the mouth of the predator, he's going to turn against you. So now the lion, he turned against David now. Hello? Because David said, and then when he rose against me, after David somehow smote him, maybe knocked him off balance, and then he lost his grip of the sheep or whatever, the sheep was able to run free, then the lion turned against David. You know, and David said, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of this lion. So I imagine the lion was, you know, pouring over him. David might have been in hand-to-hand combat. Amen. Blessed the Lord, my God, who teacheth my hands to fight. I mean, my hands to walk and my fingers to fight. And you know, well, you see, how do you know this? Because the Lord showed me this. I mean, David had this one of these long shepherd, you know, they have this long knife. It's like a mini sword that he had in his scarf in there. You know, and when the lion came over him like that, you know, and all of that, David was fighting for his life. You know, he got a hold of his beard, you know, got a hold of his knife, and he stuck it right here. You say, that's right. Stuck it right through his, underneath his throat. You know, pinned his mouth together like that. He said, my goodness. And he rolled free out of the hand of the lion. He said, the Lord delivered him out of the paw of the lion. Well, absolutely. Did the same thing to the bear as well. You know, well, I don't know what happened to David after that, because he might have got a few scars. Hello? He didn't tell us that, but I don't think he went scot-free with that arrow from the lion without getting a few scars. You know. But he did recover his sheep, but he had some marks on his body to remind him of it. So this time around, when he went up against Goliath, he was going to take no prisoners. Hello? He was going to go for the kill and finish the job. And not give this Goliath a chance to rise up against him. You're not going to just knock him down like you knock down the lion or this one and then let him come after you again. No. You know, when you are on the road, when the devil comes after you and the Lord gives you the victory over him, don't stop. Keep going until you vanquish the devil. Yes. Amen, somebody. Yes. You've got to wipe him out. Yes. Otherwise, he'll come back against you again. So you've got to finish him off. So anyway, this time around, when he went against Goliath, he knew what he needed to do, you know, and he finished him off. He didn't even, you know, he didn't just smite him because, you know, like he smote the lion first and then let him come back against, you know. You know, this time he smote the Goliath with the sling and the rock. Amen? Yeah, but he didn't stop there. He quickly ran and took the man's sword and finished him off. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, and he got the complete victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the story in that is this. First of all, you know, David, you know, he wouldn't let the enemy take anything that belonged to him. Amen? And he, you know, he's going to go after the lion, the bear, whoever it is, that comes and gets anything that belongs to him. He's in a duel, you know, fight for his life, and he is going to go and recover anything that the enemy took from him. He's not going to let it happen. Amen. You know, and David already had those experiences under his belt. He had the experience of the lion and the bear under his belt by the time he went to against Goliath. You know, and by the time he was going to Ziklag, he had all three experiences under his belt. You know, and so, you know, when he got to Ziklag now, and all his family, everything gone, the house burned down and so forth, he remembered, you know, how the Lord strengthened him. And he went and said, I remember, you know, this lion, he took something that belonged to me. I got after him and I got everything back, you know. And I remember when the bear came after me too, and so forth, got one of the sheep, you know. And so he said, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord said, pursue. And he said, the Lord said, you're going to overtake them and you're going to recover on them. Say, that's good enough for me. You know. And then he went, and you can read the rest of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 17 to 20. I'm just going to read, you know, that part of it, how David went up to them and got everything back, just like the Lord said. This is 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 17. And David smote them from the twilight, even unto the morning. That's like from evening all night long. He smote the enemy, you know. And, you know, a few of them escaped, but most of them David killed. And verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his wives. And there was nothing lacking for them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken that David did not recover. He recovered all. Amen? Amen. And on top of that, he's going to get him some extra too. Listen to this. And David also took all the flocks and all the herds and so forth like that. And he drave them before the other cattle, and the Bible says, this is David's spoil. Now, David's spoil is not, when you're recovering something that was yours, that's not a spoil. Amen? Spoiling is when you are spoiling the enemy. So not only did he recover all that was his, and he took all that was the enemy's as well. Hello? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that's how you recover all. You go after what's yours in the name of the Lord, and then you get it, and the Lord is going to begin to do some of that for many of you beginning this year. Amen? God is going to set things in place to make sure that you recover all. There have been things that the enemy has taken in your life, you know, and you will recover all. There are many stories in the Bible, you know, to tell us this, you know. Some of you may even, you know, you may have lost some of your children to the world, You know, maybe you lost your children to alcoholism or whatever it is. You know, let me tell you something. You will recover all. Hallelujah, somebody. You will recover all. There was a story in Luke chapter 15 of a man that had two sons. You know, we focus all the time on the son, you know, and so forth. But I'm going to focus right now on the father. Because the father lost one of his sons. Amen? The story of the prodigal son, you guys may know it. It's in Luke chapter 15. Some of you may know that. I don't have time to read it this morning. But this man lost one of his sons because one of the sons came to him, the younger son, and said, look, you know, give me my inheritance already. I don't need to wait until you die. You know, I just want to go out here and do some stuff. So give me my stuff. I want to go out to Las Vegas or wherever it is. You know, so he got all the, you know, the father reluctantly gave him, but he went out and spoiled himself and riotous living, got involved with harlots and all kinds of things. You know the story. Now, I'm not focusing on that story this morning, but I want to focus on the father. Because the father kept saying, my son is coming home. Amen, somebody. That's right. Every day he kept looking for that son. In fact, sometimes, you know, I imagine he would ask his older brother, have you heard from your brother? Say, my brother, who? You know, I don't care about him. You know, he went out and messed himself up. That's his business. And, you know, I imagine even, you know, the father might have sent some people to go look for him and so on, you know, because he kept looking. He kept waiting, you know. He kept believing that this boy was coming back. Amen, somebody. And I guarantee you, when the day he was coming back, the father was the first to notice that he was coming because he was always on the lookout for him. He knew that he was coming. And when he saw him afar off, he said, yeah, I know that's my son. He's coming home. Praise God. You know, so if you've lost your son to alcoholism or to the world or drugs or whatever it is, you know, I want you to know that you will recover all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I finish this short message that I'm going to preach here, I'm going to pray the prayer that's going to make the enemy release what he has grabbed out of his pores. He's going to release out of his mouth whatever he has taken from you. You know, like the Bible said, the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the dragon. He delivered out of the paws of the lion and paws of the bear. The Lord is going to deliver you or your loved ones or any of your belongings that the enemy has taken. You're going to deliver all of that from the hand of the enemy and restore everything to you so that you may recover all. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that if you believe that. Praise God. Now, the last story I'm going to tell you here this morning before I pray is there's a story here in 2 Kings. And I'm going to tell you the story of a woman that recovered all. You see, because this was not only David, and this is not only men. You know, this woman, she recovered all. Now, this woman, you know, her story dates back as far as 4 chapters earlier than 2 Kings 8. But this woman used to tend to Elisha, the prophet, you know, so forth. You know, you might read her story in 2 Kings chapter 4. She's called a Shunammite woman. And, you know, she did some things for the man of God, you know, built him, you know, place and all of that and so on. You know, and then finally, the man of God asked his servant, look, this woman is always so nice to us. What is it? What exactly does she want? Well, the servant said, well, she doesn't have a child. So the prophet of the Lord said to her, well, according to the word of the Lord, by the season of life, this time next year, you will embrace a son. Hallelujah, somebody. And of course, it happened exactly. Well, it came to pass one time, you know, that, you know, the baby got older, you know, suddenly he developed some very serious migraine headaches or whatever it is, you know, I don't know if he had bumped his head against something, had a concussion or something, and suddenly he died. And the woman, she carried the baby and so forth, and you've heard about that, you know, he shall be well, she said, even when the baby was dead, and she looked for the man of God, and the man of God came and raised the child to life and all that. So how many of you know that story? You know that story? Yes. So, okay. Now, I don't want to dwell on that part of the story because I want to keep this brief. You know, so the man of God raised that story. But there is something I want to bring out of this here. Now, I want you to see the background of this story. You know, she honored God's prophet. Built him a place, did some things, and so forth like that. You know. And so every time the man came into town, He said, well, I got this little chalet over here for you to stay, you know, and so forth. Fixed his meal, took care of him, and so forth. You know, him and his servant, they were there, you know. And then so Elisha would tell her something too after the Lord called for a famine in the land. So the Lord called for a famine in the land. So Elisha, he said, well, this woman and all of that, you know, she's very nice to us. So let's make sure the Lord takes care of her, because this famine is going to be very severe. So turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thy household, and sojourn wherever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. So Elisha, just like Elijah with the famine and all of that, you know, so Elisha now is going to give this woman, you know, a heads up. Say, look, there's coming a very severe famine on the land for 7 years. So I want you to get out of the place, you know, take your family and run, because it's going to be like dust bowls. You know, it's going to, you know, just destroy everything. You know, just go wherever you can, go find some place, you know, as far, get away as far from this place as you can, you know, and all of that, you know, and stay there until these 7 years, you know, blow over, you know, so that you and your family will not be destroyed, you know, because of this evil that is coming. How many of you know that God can predict, you know, and tell you exactly what is going to happen because he knows the future, and save your life and your family by giving you a warning? Amen? How many of you know that God can do that? Yeah. We absolutely need it here. In fact, the Lord, he saved the life of the little child Jesus when he was a baby by a dream that he gave to Joseph. He said, look, take the little child and go into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, because there are those that seek his life. Because Herod was trying to kill him along with the other babies, just so he would destroy the so-called king that would come. You know, and the angel of the Lord told Joseph to do that, and Joseph did that and said, I'll, you know, stay there until I bring you word to return. And then when it was time, brought him word to return and said, the people that sought his life are dead, you may return. You know, so God can use all of that to save your life. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Well, I believe in revelation, I believe in visions, I believe in dreams, I believe in the prophetic word, you know, that God will guide you. Hallelujah. And he will save you. And if there is, you know, God will lead you away from evil. And, you know, if there's evil that will, is determined to happen, that God cannot or will not avert, then he will either protect you or lead you away from it. Amen? Amen, somebody? If you believe that, you can say amen to that. Amen. Of course, if you don't believe it, well, you know, you know, it's going to be your loss. You know, so you better believe that God is able to deliver you from the evil. Amen? He's able to deliver me from the snare of the Father. He's able to keep me from the noisome pestilence. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, and, you know, so you have to listen to the Lord too. If he tells you, don't go over there. You know, don't be foolhardy and go over there when the Lord tells you. Amen? Because he knows what he's doing. Joseph could have stayed there and said, I'm going to use my faith, you know, and pray and bind the devil, you know. That the Lord said, no, don't bind any devil. You get out of here. Amen? Praise God. Of course, there was a prophecy that was to be fulfilled. Out of Egypt have I called my son. You know, so Jesus needed to fulfill that prophecy. So that's why that happened. But the point is, the Lord will tell you, and he can tell you, you know, things to deliver your life and give you a word of wisdom to get out of danger. Amen. Amen. And the woman arose in 2 Kings chapter 2 and did after the saying of the man of God, and went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. Then it came to pass, at the end of the 7 years, the woman heard that the famine was over and so forth like that, and that everything was good and things were back, and so she desired her homeland. She wanted to go back. You know, she didn't want to stay in the land of the Philistines. You know, it's like she was an alien or whatever you want to call it, you know, and she probably didn't have all the rights in that over there and so forth. You know, so she was there and they're just managing for 7 years and so forth. But she knew the word of the Lord, that the Lord told her that it's going to be, you know, 7 years. So she was looking forward to it. She did everything she could to survive, and she said, well, I'm going back. You know, and so when she found out that the 7 years were over and that the famine was over, here's what she did. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 years, in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 8, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and her land. Now, the whole time that she was gone, her hand had been repossessed. Amen?
Amen, somebody?
Repossessed.
You know, she lost everything. Her land and everything was repossessed because she didn't make her payments. You know, so she, you know, she lost,
you know, and all of that. And so the government or whoever, they took it over, you know, got everything, you know.
Now, so she went, you know, when she came to the, now in those days, you know, those were the days of theocracy, if you want to put it that way. God ruled through the kings. Amen?
Amen?
Now, it wasn't all the kings that did according to the good things that the Lord wanted to do. Some of them did evil in the sight of the Lord, you know, but nevertheless, God ruled in the affairs of men. He raised up good kings and bad kings and so forth. So in those days, it was like the word of the king was it. There was no Congress and all these kind of things. You know, whatever the king said, that was it. Amen? Amen, somebody?
Amen.
So this woman came to the king, you know, and here is the way that God will make sure that you recover all. Now, all your good deeds, in fact, the Bible says, you know, that the Lord, you know, he comes to reward our deeds and so forth. And he also said their deeds do follow them. You know, all your deeds will follow you. Amen? Whether they be good or evil, they will follow you anyhow. You know, this woman, all the deeds that she did, you know, now she's going to reap some things. You know, beyond, she's already reaped the fact that her son was raised to life. But then she, you know, she kept on to tending to the man of God and all of these things that she did. And then she's going to reap some things now. You know, now, this is not, look, some people tell you that, look, you know, you bring this money and God's going to bless you and so forth like that. That's not this. You know, you just keep on doing good. Because, you know, after many days or even years, it'll come back to you. Amen? Amen, somebody? If you believe that, you can say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I believe in doing good because it will come back to me. Praise God. And if you do good, it will come back to you. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. It will come back to you. So this woman, all the good and so forth that she did for the man of God, is going to come back to him. But here's how God is going to set it up. This is how God is going to set up for you in order for you to recover all. Now listen to this story. It came to pass, you know, on such a day that the very man servant of Elisha, whose name was Gehazi, he was the servant of Elisha who was there at the time that Elisha raised this woman's son back to life. You know, on the very day, this is how God times things perfectly in destiny. Amen? Maybe you don't know the story yet. Okay. But on such a day, this man Gehazi, Elisha's servant, was talking to the king. And he was saying to the king, look, I tell you something. This man, Elisha, this man's a great prophet. And he's done all kinds of things. You know, he can tell you how to hide from your enemies. He can tell you where to go when your enemies is, you know, when your enemies are laying wait for you. He can do all of these things. And he kept telling, you know, the king about all of the wonderful works of Elisha. And he said, in fact, Elisha raised a woman's son to life. And the king said, you're kidding. He said, no. And as he was saying it, in verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, and he said, tell me, you know, I pray all the great things that Elisha had said. And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king. She returned at that very moment. God was fixing to do something for her. And when God is fixing to do something for you, he takes it out of anybody's hands. That is a favor of God. When he begins to work for you, there's no stopping it. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
And God set it in motion that the very moment that this man was talking about this thing, this woman was at the door. Could have happened any time before that. No, but God fixed it. And Gehazi was just talking about. And when the woman came to cry, and God said, my land. This is the very woman. Amen? This is the very woman. This is her son that Elisha raised to the dead from the dead. And the king said, man, come here, let me check this out. And so the king checked it out and said, you know, woman, did Elisha raise this your boy from the dead? The boy was now about 9 years old, whatever. You know, I don't know how long, maybe 15, whatever. A few years had passed, 7 years had passed, but the boy was also a few years before that, you know, before they left. He said, oh, yeah. And I said, my goodness. So he said, well, what shall I do for you? Amen? God already prepared the heart of the king because of all the things that Gehazi was saying, and this woman just walked in. You know, if she had just walked in like that and said, well, you know, and so forth, you know, maybe nothing would have happened. But God was fixing to make sure that she would recover all. And God was fixing it and set Gehazi in the right place at the right time. And he set everything in place. And then the king said, what shall I do for you? And then the woman said, well, you know, 7 years ago, you know, I was here before the famine and so forth. And all of these things happened. And in fact, the same man of God, it's not all here, but you know, I'm just filling in the blanks. This same man of God, he told me to go out for a while, you know. And because of the famine and so forth. So I escaped for my life and all of that. And I went to the land of the Philippines. But I'm now come back. But my land is gone. My house is repossessed. And all of these things and so forth. Can you help me, king? And the king said, my goodness. Can I help you? Am I the king or what? Amen? And he made a decree. He appointed a certain officer in verse 6 and said, restore her that was hers. And all the fruits of the field since the day that she left, even until now. That's 7 years. Even if she had been there herself, she could not have made those 7 years profit by herself. You know, so the king is going to restore her house, going to restore her land, going to give her interest on it, going to give her all kinds of things because of the favor of the Lord. And he said, recover her all. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, I want to tell you today that God sent me here today to tell you that you will recover all. And if you believe that, you can stand to your feet here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I am talking about total recovery. Total recovery. And while you are standing, I'm going to read this unto you. Hallelujah. And I want you to believe God, because in a few minutes, I'm going to pray. I'm going to read it to you in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11. And this same verse is also in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 10. But here is Isaiah 51 and verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, and they shall come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let me read also to you in Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 and 19. Now when God does this thing that he is fixing to do for you, here's what is going to happen. Remember ye not the former things. In other words, he is going to obliterate even the remembrance of it. Any evidence of the loss, any trace of it, he's going to take it away. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old, because I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? And he begins to tell him, I will even make a way in the wilderness. I will do things for you so much that you will not even remember. Hallelujah. Well, we know the story of Job. He lost everything because of the contest between the Lord and the devil about him, you know, and so forth like that. But at the end, he recovered all. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You know, he got multitudes of wives, oxen, children, everything. Well, God allowed them to do those in those old days. You know, he got all those things and so forth like that. You know, and he got more and more and more. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He recovered all. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He recovered all. Now let me read to you. You know, here is where it is all going to end. At the end. You know, but God is working with us even now before the fulfillment of the final promise at the end. In Revelation chapter 21. And verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and God shall be their God. Now notice verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Oh my. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage every one of you to listen to the message on the website, Light and Darkness, from last week's Bible study. I'm going to show you how God's going to eradicate that death by the light that He's putting in us. Praise God. Hallelujah. You listen to that. But there shall be no more death. There shall be no more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. All things new. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And I love this verse 7. Oh my. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for that? Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will be his God, and he will be my son. Now, God says to us in Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord, the years. And I will add this by the Spirit of God. There are things also, not just the years. There are things that the cankerworm, the locust, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm have eaten. I will restore, saith the Lord. And if you believe that, you can say amen. Of course, you know, the word of God doesn't profit anyone if it's not mixed with faith. You know, God can promise you heaven and earth. If you don't believe it, you're not going to get nothing. Amen. You know, that's how it works. But let God be true, and every man a liar. God's word, you know, Bible says, what if some did not believe? Shall he make the word of God of none effect? Oh, no. There's always a remnant that will believe. Amen? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we are told that Noah believed God and moved. See? And when he did that, the Bible says, by the singular act of Noah believing God, he condemned the rest of the world. That's right. You know, when God has one person that will believe, he'll condemn everybody else that don't believe. But his word is true, and there will always be a remnant that believe God. How many of you will believe God here this morning? If you will believe God here this morning, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we thank God for that. That's Hebrews 11 verse 7. Noah believed God, and he condemned the rest of the world. Now, I am going to pray this prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Say it again, thank you, Jesus. In fact, the Lord said that, look, I don't care what you've lost, you know, I will restore, saith the Lord. And when he restores, my goodness, you know, you will recover all. And if you remember the message, running over, you know, God will make everything run over for you. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen to even his promise to somebody who, you know, who at one time they said, well, you know, I don't know what the Lord is doing for me because the Lord has done all things, great things for my, you know, for people around me, but he hasn't done anything for me. Some people, you know, say that and so forth. Say, well, I'm childless and all of this and so forth. So the Lord says here, you know, Isaiah chapter 54. He said, look, you know, when you begin to break forth on the left and on the right, you know, he said, you're going to do all of these things. Enlarge the place of your tent. You know, lengthen your cords. And you heard the sermon. You heard me preach about that in No Limits. You know, lengthen your cords. Do all of these things and so forth. He said, you know, here's what he said. He said, because thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. That's in Isaiah 54 and verse 4. And thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. That's total recovery. He not only brings back what you've lost, he erases the memory of the loss. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. You say God can do that? Why? Absolutely. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How do you think God is able to do that? Well, because he is the Lord. He will fix it, you know. Even today in medical science, the anesthesiologists, they can give you medication
when you go in anesthesia that will make you have temporary memory loss. How many of you know that's true? Or maybe you don't know, but when they put you to sleep, they put some medication in there that will give you temporary memory loss. And then when you wake up, they'll ask you, what is your name? You know, and so forth. So make sure that your regular memory is there. You know, because they don't want you to remember anything that happened in between in case you woke up during the surgery and you heard them saying something. You know, they don't want you to remember it. So they give you that. You know, if you think medical science can do that, how about the God Almighty? Hallelujah, somebody. He can fix it and you won't remember it. Praise God. We know He's going to do that when we get to heaven. Because, you know, all of your loved ones will be saved. Amen? Amen. They will either all be saved or you will not remember that they were not saved. You know, that's just the way it is, because there's only one way that He can remove, you know, your tears from your eyes. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. If you ever had a loved one that was not saved and they died before you got a chance to preach to them, don't worry about it. You know, they were either saved before they died, or if they weren't saved, you will not remember that they were not saved. Because if you had sorrow when you are there about your loved one, then He hasn't removed all the sorrow. You know, but He will wipe away all tears, and He will remove all the sorrow. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. But as long as we are here in this world, our loved ones shall be saved. Amen. Amen. My children, all shall be taught of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And great shall be the peace of thy children, He said. You know, so if there's anybody in here, real quickly this morning, I'm going to do this. If there's anybody in here, hallelujah, and you want to recover all, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Under this anointing right now, I want you to come forward, and I'm going to believe God with you. You want to recover all. Now, this is not partial recovery. This is total recovery. Jesus is the author and finisher. He doesn't just start something, you know, and just, no. You know, this is going to be total recovery. It's what God is going to put in place in your lives this year. Because He sent me to tell you that here this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Total recovery. I want everybody to say total recovery. Say it again. Total recovery. Now let me say to you the word of the Lord. He said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And everything that God said, He is able also to perform. You know, that's how you get God to do things for you in your life. You say to God, Lord, I know that you said in your word that you will make me to recover all. Hallelujah. Now therefore, hasten to perform the word which you spoke concerning me. Amen. Now I want you to lift up your hands and pray that prayer for yourself. You know, I have told you the word of the Lord here this morning. God will make you to recover all in your life. Now, if there's something that was lost, your son, your daughter, anybody in your family lost something, you yourself even lost something, you lost some possessions, the devil took something from you, God will recover all for you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Now lift up your hands and we're going to pray. I want every one of you to say, thank you, Jesus. Say it again with me. Thank you, Jesus. Say it like you mean it. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to say, Lord, I thank you for your word. Because you said, thou shalt recover all. And I know that word applies to me. And I believe that you are able to make me recover all. Therefore, O Lord, hasten and perform the word that you have spoken unto me, that I may recover all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me declare the word of the Lord unto you. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to say it to the devil this way. Now give up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give up that which you have taken from the people of God. Get it up. And let them recover all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray that the Lord will give you grace to understand this message. And that you will walk in the victory of this message and enforce it in your lives. And everywhere you go, every day, beginning today, you speak recovery.
You speak total recovery in your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you have any unsaved ones in here this morning, I want to tell you something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. If you have any unsaved ones in here this morning, I want to see your hands up. Any unsaved person. Somebody you want the Lord to do something for. This is somebody that the enemy has stolen from you, because they belong in the kingdom of God. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, look at the hands, Lord. Now, I command that devil, give up the souls. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Because the Lord, he went and got a hold of the victory for us. He got the keys of hell and death. He got everything. He whooped the devil. And he gave us a victory. Hallelujah. And we have that victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, if there is anything else in your life too, but I want you to do this. You must walk before the Lord in order for you to be able to retain this recovery permanently. Because if you go back in and out, a worse thing might come upon you. So I want you to walk in the fear of the Lord. And if you are going to do that this morning, raise up your hand and say, Lord, help me to walk in the fear of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may obey all thy commandments, that I may do all your statutes, that I may hearken unto all the word of the Lord, and I may delight in the pleasure of the Lord only. Lord, therefore, give me grace to do the same in Jesus' name. Now, I take charge of you this morning on account of the word that you have spoken in the house of the Lord. Now, I charge every one of you, you live diligently the best you can, and God will give you the grace, you know, in the fear of the Lord. And if you do that, the Lord will keep his word concerning this promise. You will recover all. Now, Lord Jesus, you know, God also has some, God has his own armies. You know, I'll tell you that too, amen. God has things in place. He knows how to put things in place, just like he did for that woman. He knows how to set up the very moment that somebody will be talking to her, I mean, to the king about her, and she will be right there. She knows how, God knows how to do that. Now, God is going to bless you, but you've got to be in the right place at the right time to receive that blessing. Praise God. You know, sometimes the brooks might be dried up, and God will tell you, look, the brook is dried up. You got to move. Amen. So you got to listen to the Lord. Now, Lord Jesus, open our hearts and our eyes and our ears, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord. As he said in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you in the way that you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. Now, Lord, instruct your people the way they should go. And even when they are sleeping, Lord, seal the instruction in their hearts according to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord Jesus, guide them with your eye, that they may be in the right place at the right time for the blessing of the Lord, that they may be able to recover all. Now, if you're a student and you lost, you know, you've lost the place that you should be. God wanted you to be the head, but you are no longer the head. You're not doing very well in school or whatever it is, you know. This beginning today, God will make you recover all. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can clap for the Lord. Yeah, you can clap for the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. God will make you recover all. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I challenge the spirit of grace from the Lord. I ask him to come upon every one of you. Hallelujah. Because God said, ask me of things to come concerning the works of my hand. Command ye me. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, let the spirit of grace move upon these students and give them the victory. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who have, you know, who are entrepreneurs, you know, you have business, you are in enterprise, you're whatever you're doing, you're working and so forth. Hallelujah. God wants you to be the head and not the tails. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Hallelujah, somebody. Ye are bought with a price. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, you know, that which the enemy has kept from your people, Lord, I begin to pray a release. 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 In Jesus' name.
Let me tell you also, the Bible says it is vain for you to stay up late, wake up early, just to eat the bread of affliction. You know, some of you have to walk round the clock, you know, just to barely make ends meet. And even on top of that, it's like walking to put money in a bag of holes. You do all that labor, and the next thing you know, the enemy takes it from you. Because from one thing to one thing, as soon as you do it, you enter another calamity, and you have to pay for all of that problem. Well, let's put an end to that right now.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Let's put an end to that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not earn money to put in a bag of holes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And know this and understand and consider today that for a man to eat the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. For you to work and be able to use the money to bless your family and bless yourself and not use it to pay for trouble, it is going to be the gift of God. And I command that gift of God to be restored in your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Some of you resemble that remark. You know, you do all that you can and then from one problem to another. Well, it is enough, saith the Lord. Behold, I make all things new. In your life, I am Alpha and Omega. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God is going to do something unique and extraordinary for you this year on account of this pronunciation that I'm about to make. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you want it, lift up your hand. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord that confirmed your word. You perform your own counsel, and you perform the counsel of your messengers. You sent me here this morning to declare this word. Hallelujah. And I decree and I declare that the Lord will do something unique and extraordinary in the lives of all those that are believing for it this year. And God will begin to put things in motion and put you in the right place at the right time. God will lock your steps.
Amen.
You will not be able to go the wrong way.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lock their steps, Lord. Hallelujah. On the left and on the right, put a wall here, put a wall there. Don't let them be able to turn. They can only go forward into the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Lord, release, hallelujah, a fountain of blessing into their lives this year.
Amen.
Through the glory of God.
Amen.
The blessing of peace. There shall be peace in your families. The Bible says, grace shall be the peace of all your children. There shall be peace concerning your work.
Amen.
Prosperity on every hand. The Lord will bless you and it causes his face to shine upon you. And above all, the Lord will reveal himself more and more to you. Cause the darkness to depart and his light to shine in you so that we can become more like him. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. If you believe that, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you may have relationship difficulties and so forth like that. You know, you are like cats and dogs, you know, always at each other's throats and so forth. Well, let's put an end to that also. Amen?
Amen?
But you must humble yourself. Praise God. Lord Jesus, work a miracle for them in there. And bring that spirit of humility. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let God recover all. That which he intended for your home to be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, some of you have lost. There's no altar in your home anymore. There's no altar of prayer. You know, for you to recover all, that must also be restored. Amen? Yes, that's right. Before the fire could fall, Elijah had to restore, you know, all of that. You know, he restored, he put everything in order, the water, the wood and everything. He restored all that. He repaired the altar of the Lord. Now, I pray the Lord will give you an understanding of this, that you must repair the altar of the Lord. And I want to challenge all the men that are here. If you're here and you're married, you know, you have family, you're supposed to be the head of the home.
That means you're supposed to be the priest in that home. Hallelujah. And all you men are not doing exactly that, you know, well, you're failing your duties. You know, you need to circle the wagons, repair that altar of the Lord, and bring your family to the altar. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord, He will crown you with success. Praise God. And for you women, oh yes, no home can be successful without a woman. Praise God. So you need to play that motherly role for your children. You need to honor and respect your husband. And you need to support him in all that he does. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is going to bring a great blessing to everyone. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now let me make a pronunciation for this church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? How many of you would like the Lord to do something for this church this year?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, the Lord's been doing a lot already, and we thank Him for that. But God's going to do something unique and extraordinary. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be like the clouds will part, and the beam of His glory will come down. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we ask it, we pray for it, we believe it, we receive it, declare that it shall be so in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen,
amen somebody.
Amen.
The days will come in this church that if you are late, my goodness, you will have missed a great thing. I mean, people will be here early before the church starts.
Amen.
Because of what God is doing.
Amen.
Praise God. God will bring the people from all around. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Because of the glory of the Lord that will be tabernacled in this place.
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's get the praise team back up here real quickly, and we're going to close.